Well, man, it is such a joy, as I said, to get together with each and every one of you. Last week, we asked you guys to be praying about a few things, so I want to give you some updates on everything. Let me close out of the YouTube that my daughter was watching. I'm going to give you guys some updates. First of all, we told you that Bob Schrader was having some major, major heart surgery. And we're happy to say that everything went smoothly. He's out of ICU. He's recovering well. I would encourage you guys to reach out to the Schrader family, see what you can be doing to serve them and to walk alongside of them. It was an intense surgery, and it's going to be a long journey ahead of them still with recovery. So love on them, encourage them every opportunity you get. There we go. The second thing that I asked you guys to be praying about was something that we were going through personally, and that I had been diagnosed with colon cancer. We had our scans this week, and we met with our doctors, and we received some wonderful news. It is very early cancer, stage one cancer. They're not planning on doing any chemo or radiation. They think they can be taken out with surgery. So we're just overjoyed. We were absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. April and I, we spent a lot of time in prayer. We have a dear friend in Chicago that, like you guys, spent years battling cancer and got through, and I was speaking with her through it, and she said, "My biggest question is how did this episode, no matter how big it is, how did it increase your faith?" And let me tell you, it increased it exponentially. April and I had to wrestle with these things that I've been telling you guys for the past year and a half of how you should handle the situation, and now we had to figure out how we were going to handle the situation. And God took us through a journey of struggle, of fear, of pain. He's still taking us through it, but the place that we ended up and the place that we continue to be at is contentment, assurance that we're where God wants us, and excitement for what He has in store. I'm grateful that what He has in store wasn't anything bigger. They can go in and take it out with surgery. But April and I continue to be open and eager for whatever the Lord has ahead of us. So again, no chemo radiation. We can go with surgery. So we ask just for your continued prayers for the doctors as we knock this thing out and we take care of it over the next few weeks. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please be praying for Luann. She has a CT scan to find out the progress of her cancer as well. It's wonderful. Please be praying. Not yet. We'll let you guys know when it's scheduled. We'll be meeting with the surgeon next week. So we'll keep you guys updated on everything. Again, if you have any questions, anything, feel free to talk to me. We're not secretive or private about this at all. So I'd love to answer any questions that you guys have, as I so appreciate you guys walking this alongside of me. Today we're continuing our series called Life. As we look at the life of Christ and we recognize that we experience victories, we experience challenges, we experience times that we rejoice and times that we grieve throughout this thing called life. And how in the world are we supposed to react in the midst of those things? Over the next two weeks, we're going to be looking at the response of two incredible women, the same two women. We'll look at them this week and then we'll look at them next week as well. And you're going to see that even despite it, in different situations, you're going to respond differently. In the passage we look at today, one of the women is raised up as an example of faith. And yet next week, the other woman is raised up as an example of faith. We're going to be in John chapter 11. It's going to be a lot of verses. John chapter 11, 1 through 44. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. I thought about breaking it up, but as I come to every time, man, the Word of God is way better than anything I could say. So we're going to spend our time in it, reading it. Please follow along. It's going to be on the screen as we read. A little bit of context. Jesus was just in Jerusalem proclaiming that He was one with the Father. And He was hated and reviled for that message. So He was kind of chased out of town. Rather, they were looking to arrest Him and to stone Him. But He and the disciples were able to escape and get out of Jerusalem. And then how here we are in John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. It's the story we'll read next week. His brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent him, saying, Lord, him whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house concerning her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around. They may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. There's so much in these 44 verses. I know there's portions of it that you wish I would be talking about that I may not hit on today, all right? We'll come back to it at a later date, I assure you. The sermon that we're going to be looking at today is one that I desperately needed, and I pray that it's one that will touch your lives as well. Before we jump into it, let us pray. Father, we so desperately need you. Father, I pray that you hear our cries of confession, that you hear our cries of adoration. Father, we ask that in the midst of weakness and pain and longing and uncertainty, we ask that you reign supreme, that you are glorified above all else. Use this time to bring yourself glory. May the Holy Spirit transform lives through the delivery of your word. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. How can someone who loves God die young, while someone who commits heinous crimes live a long life? Why would God allow a missionary to be killed while serving? Why would God let someone who is godly suffer from disease while there are people out there who deserve to suffer far more? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does God allow His servants to suffer? I long to feel loved, but why does it feel like God has abandoned me and is just letting me die? Why does God allow me to wallow in the midst of hopelessness? Why doesn't God just listen to me and do what I ask? If you're anything like me, even me over these past couple weeks, you've asked those questions multiple times throughout your life. So often, life doesn't seem fair. I mean, we have an in with the guy, we're his children. We have an in with the guy in charge, and we still have to deal with the pains that this life brings. Why doesn't he just fix it and let us live an easy, happy life while we're on this earth? I'd be lying if I said that I had answers to all of those questions this morning. At least answers that would make us feel better. I think that these are some of the most difficult questions and issues to wrestle with for Christians. Most difficult questions for Christians to ask, and so often we are left in our wondering and our hopelessness. Is this really the God that we want to worship? If you've been asking those questions, at least take comfort in the fact that you're not alone in asking these things. You're in very good company. Because faith is incredibly difficult. But faith in the midst of hardship seems impossible. Today's passage, we get to see some remarkable women, Mary and Martha, as they have this wrestle in their faith with some of these same questions. And if you think that they just accept what the right answer is, that God is in charge without asking any questions, without having any grief, then you are incredibly wrong. As we look at this passage, you're going to see that it doesn't go down how anyone would expect. It's not written how any normal author would write this story. It doesn't turn out how we would have written it. It doesn't really make too much sense at all. But what we realize is that God works in ways that are opposite of what the world says should happen. And that's hard to accept sometimes. But we also get to realize, and those of you guys who have gone through some of these intense challenges, you realize that it is way better. I'm not promising that after today you're going to have all of your questions answered, that you're never going to ask these questions again when you go through difficulties or when you hear of difficulties. Far from it. I still wrestle with these things on a regular basis. I'm simply revealing the hope from an incredible story that we're looking at today. A story of the death of Christ's best friend. There are three quick statements that I think that we can pull from this passage that will give us hope in the midst of hopelessness. The first thing that we have to recognize is that God loves us even when we don't see it. God loves us even when we don't see it. Notice the beginning of this passage where Christ hears the news that he was told. Lord, he who you love is ill. Then verse 5 later says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John purposefully reiterates this fact that Christ loved Lazarus. This wasn't a debated fact at all. It was understood. Just truly loved Lazarus in a special way. They had spent years together and were close, and they loved one another. They were truly best friends. Is there music playing back here? This is going to distract me, so I got to wait till it's done. I know, this is great. I don't know where it's coming from. The recording after they put this on the website is going to be awesome. Where are you coming from? No, it's not coming from there. Where are you? Who knows? This is baffling. Is it gone? I think it's gone. All right. Let's see if we can find it. It was a great song. I enjoyed it. It's a classic. It was probably someone's phone and they don't want to admit it. And they're All right. Let's jump back in here. It's back. It's back. I'm just hearing things. Okay. It's not back, though. All right. This is the silence that a public speaker dreams of. But not because there's music playing through the speakers. I don't know. Hopefully it's gone. If not, it will really just be that background dramatic music that adds to what I'm saying. I want you to notice again the beginning of this passage when Christ finds out what had just happened. He gets the message, Lord, he who you love is ill. Then just a little bit later in verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus truly loved him in a special way. But the remarkable thing is that the way the passage says that Jesus loved Lazarus, says that he loved him, so he waited 2 days. It's back, I'm telling you, it's back. You're going to drive me crazy. You think? It's going to distract me so much. I'm sorry, guys. Are we sure it's coming through the speakers? This takes technical difficulties to another level. This is amazing.
I think it's a frequency.
Someone's trying to get into our service. And play some awesome music. Bob is all in the hospital trying to patch in. Alright. Alright. We'll see if we ever get past this point. Alright. It's there still, right? Alright. We're going to have to just like power through. We'll turn this off. I'm not convinced it's this. No, I butt dialed iTunes apparently. So disrespectful, guys. I don't think it was. All right. Woo! All right. Just like you guys love me so much, Jesus loved Lazarus remarkably. All right, let's see if I can recover from this. All right. All right, the crazy thing about how Christ loved Lazarus is what this passage says. The passage says that he loved Lazarus, and so he waited 2 days. He found out that his best friend was ill, that his best friend was dying, and he loved him so much that he waited 2 days to go and check on him. In other words, he loved Lazarus, so he waited. He heard that his best friend was sick and dying, and he had healed people of sickness in the past. He easily could have healed Lazarus. You would think that, is it still playing or am I just hearing things now? I'm just hearing things now. You would think that love would lead him to just drop everything and to run to Lazarus' side to comfort him, at least to be with his best friend in this time of difficulty. And I mean, he's the Son of God. He could have healed him in the midst of his sickness, but rather he loved him, so he waited. You would think that love would lead him to do everything he could to save his friend from pain. You would think that love would cause him to protect his friend from the pain of death. But instead, he waits. He sits for 2 days while his best friend suffers and dies. It's interesting to note that he waited until he knew Lazarus was dead. We know that because in verse 14, he plainly says, Lazarus is dead. And then he says, it's a good thing that I wasn't there. What? What in the world is this? How ridiculous is this? This entirely goes against what we call love. Seems like he did the very opposite of what a loving response would be. I can assure you that Lazarus laid there on his deathbed and he didn't see love in Christ's response. Mary and Martha certainly didn't see love in Christ's delay. They must have been so hurt in his absence and probably felt unloved. They needed him, and he wasn't there. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the midst of suffering, you call out to God for comfort, but instead of running to your aid and fixing your problem, he waits and he lets you suffer. He lets you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How is that love? In the midst of those times that we don't see his love for us, church, we must hold to the truth that God loves in a way that is different than we love, but in a way that is greater than how we love. Christ reveals the method of his love in this passage. Right before he resurrects his dear friend, Christ looks at Martha and says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then later in his prayer, he says, he did it this way in order that they may believe. You see, Christ's purpose was for God to be glorified. And even further, for Lazarus, Mary, and Martha to experience God's glory in a way that they never would elsewhere. Jesus had to wait to let Lazarus suffer and die in order for them to fully experience the glory of God in a more significant way than they could have ever imagined. This is God's love. When we say that God loves you, we're in no way talking about a God that wants you to have no financial struggles or no persecution or no sickness or no pain. That's not what we mean when we say God loves you. When we say God loves you, we mean that he wants you to experience his glory in a special way. For some, that may mean being diagnosed with cancer. For others, it may mean being let go of a job. For others, it may mean having a large, joy-filled family. But whatever it is, the goal is for the glory of God to be revealed. God allowing you to experience that glory and to see his marvelous nature, that is true love. It may not and probably is not the type of love that we've been trained to look for or to expect, but it is indeed a greater love than a health and wealth God could communicate. If you are in the valley and feel like God is far off and is nowhere near, know that you are loved even when you can't see it. So look to see the glory of God revealed in your life. Because as he told Martha, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. The second thing that gives us hope from this passage is that doctrine guides us even when we don't feel it. Doctrine guides us even when we don't feel it. When Jesus was still outside Bethany, he hadn't gotten there yet, and Martha, Lazarus' sister, traveled and met Jesus before he came and he dealt with anything. Remember, she was a dear friend. She was loved by Jesus, and she probably hurt incredibly that Jesus wasn't there. She was certainly confused that he wouldn't be there when they needed him. In fact, she even says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She says what she's feeling. He is dead because of you. You could have saved him, but instead you let him die. But in the midst of this lostness, in the midst of this hopelessness, this confusion, this sadness, she leans on her theology. She leans on the truth that she had been taught. She is guided by the doctrine that she had been instructed in. After expressing her frustration, she says, "But even now, even in this midst of intense difficulty, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." She later says, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus responds by saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha, being guided not by emotion, but by doctrine, says, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." In that moment, Martha wasn't feeling the promises of God. She wasn't feeling his comfort and compassion, yet she wasn't overtaken with the emotion of the situation. In the midst of the whirlwind of feelings that would have furthered the downward spiral of sorrow, Martha was guided by doctrine, by the truth that she firmly believed. While her brother died due to Christ's delay, he would soon be resurrected on the final day when the dead in Christ shall rise. And in that, she found hope. Although Jesus didn't act how she wanted, he didn't act how she had asked, she leaned on the fact that he was the Savior of the world, come to save humanity, and that was far greater than the likes of her brother. She believed, and she saw the glory of God. We teach these theological truths on a regular basis so that we can be guided in the midst of difficulties. Every Sunday we have a time of confession, whether it be in song, scripture, or corporate confession. And every week it's followed by a statement of grace. Because we say that God always responds with grace when we confess our sins. So that even when you don't feel like you deserve it, you confess knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive you. When you're faced with the temptation and don't feel like you can win, you are guided by the truth that if our God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Doctrine guides us even when we don't feel it. The final thing that we cling to is that Jesus wins even when we don't believe it. Jesus wins even when we don't believe it. While Martha's response was guided by her theology and was incredibly profound, Mary was very focused on her pain and hopelessness in the midst of the loss of her brother. While Martha went out to meet Jesus, Mary remained home, wallowing in her sorrow. It's understandable. And when she did finally see him, she makes the same statement that Martha made. "Yes, Lord," she says, "if you were here, he would not have died." The difference, however, is that that is where the interaction ends with Mary. Mary doesn't lean on the things that she's been taught as truth. Rather, she's engulfed by the pain that she is in. No hope, just hopeless interaction that feels a lot like defeat. Have you ever been there? You call out to God, but the weight of the circumstances causes you to remain hopeless. You know these things and you've said these things, but almost seemingly for a period of time you forget them because you're so overwhelmed by the pain of the situation. You're tired of fighting and feeling as if there's no use. The difficulties of life have won, and you're left feeling defeated. Mary had received the same education and guidance that Martha had, but she was overcome with the emotion of the situation rather than the truth of who Christ is. She believed all hope in that situation was lost. Christ didn't come and her brother died. End of story. She truly believed the fight was over and it had ended in defeat. She believed that there was no hope in the midst of the situation. But even though she didn't believe it, what happens? Jesus wins. As he called out to Lazarus to come out, and the dead man walked out of the grave, no longer dead. The glory of God was revealed, and Christ won. Even greater than a one-time occurrence, we know that Christ has defeated the challenges and difficulties of this world altogether. A few chapters later in the book of John, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus won. It may not feel like it sometimes. You may not believe it possible in certain situations, but even in the greatest heartache and pain, Jesus has won, and hope of a future with him in glory is just around the corner. So have hope in the midst of the wilderness and be confident. Be confident that God loves us even when we don't see it. Lean on the fact that doctrine guides us even when we don't feel it, and Jesus wins even when we don't believe it. Before we close this morning, I want to point out one major theme throughout this passage. It's not in your notes. You may have already seen and understand this, but I think it would be irresponsible for us not to spend some time discussing this. As Lazarus is a physical, earthly picture. He's a physical, earthly picture of what every believer will experience. Just like Lazarus, we all die. It's inevitable. Right? George Bernard Shaw says, one out of every one person will die. There's no escaping it. But this death simply leads to new life. Just as Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. But in this phrase, there's two things that we ought to notice. First, it's that this is available to everyone. It says, whoever believes in me. It doesn't say if the righteous believe in me. It doesn't say if the Baptists or the Lutherans believe in me. It says, whoever believes in me. Secondly, realize that belief is necessary for life. You must believe in order to see his glory, as he told Martha. So my question is, do you believe this morning? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that is solely through his sacrifice that you will live once this earthly life is over? I encourage you to really dwell on that truth today. If you believe, like Lazarus, you will live even after death. Would you stand with me as the worship team takes their place? I understand that these questions that we face on a regular basis are incredibly difficult questions. I recognize that some of you are going through the midst of these wilderness, the midst of these valleys, and you don't know how to handle them. You may feel lost. You may feel like you're in the midst of hopelessness. You may say, I'm here today, but I don't believe. What is all of this about? Let this morning be the morning that you deal with these things. Starting this Sunday, we're starting something new. In the back, we have prayer warriors back there that are eager to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you're wrestling with some of these issues, that you don't understand what God is doing, if you feel lost, if you feel hopeless, if you long to finally believe and to accept that Jesus is life, that Jesus is the resurrection you need, please don't hesitate. Go to the back. Find one of the prayer warriors, as they are eager to come before the Lord in prayer for you. I trust that it will be a time of blessing.